Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app. And on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, 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 bring them out.
Good morning, welcome in on the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan. Tyler Aki is in for my guy Hoodie, who is off today to attend a funeral of a family member. We talked about it yesterday, we'll talk about it again later, but big man, we all have your back, and we miss you dearly, and we send our love to you and your family. Shay Norling is our executive producer. Jay Moore's at the controls, and the Bulls are not getting Victor Wembanyama. So, Tyler, they have no first-round pick. It gets conveyed to Orlando. They finally have paid off the Vooch trade. They have no second-round pick. They got docked one for tampering early on Lonzo Ball. They are a 40-42 club. I don't know where they're going. The Cubs lost again. The White Sox won, but they're 13 under 500. And the Bears, we have hope. But until we start playing meaningful football, they are the worst team in the National Football League. That's what the records say. So, where's there a way forward in this town? Let's get some excitement here.
There's a lot of stuck in the mud right now in this city. And wow. And you look at what last night meant. That was the only escape hatch for the Bulls last night. That was the only way out of this mess.
Even a top four pick, there's at least three players in there. Brandon Miller comes with his own baggage, but he's a great player.
Right.
Scoot Henderson, tremendous player.
Would have been number one in any other draft.
Correct. And then there's Victor Wembanyama and the Bulls. What I was reading on social media, getting ready for the draft lottery. And for everyone that's waking up this morning going, I don't, what are you talking about? The draft lottery was held in Chicago, by the way, last night. And the Bulls did not end up in the top four. So their pick, which was top four protected, now gets conveyed to Orlando as the final payment for the Nikola Vucevic trade. And he's a free agent. If they don't get him re-signed, then they have nothing to show for it.
Right.
I think they will get him re-signed.
I do too, yep.
And that's fine, as long as you don't have to pay him some stupid amount of money. He's a solid player. So I am watching this, and there was a bunch on social media. Here's how you follow the lottery. If the Bulls, Casey Johnson tweeted, if the Bulls do not see their card 14, 13, 12, or 11, it automatically means that they're in the top four.
Right.
Because anything in that middle would have already been conveyed. So I'm watching this. There's 14. It's not the Bulls. There's 13. Not the Bulls. There's 12 and it's not the Bulls.
Good signs.
I'm like, oh my goodness. We got a show tomorrow. And number 11, I see him turn over Orlando.
Yep.
Goes to the Orlando Magic. And until he lifted it all the way up, the deputy commissioner, whatever his title is, it was Orlando's logo. But then as he turned it up, you saw from Chicago. I'm like, son of a...
Killed by the fine print there, which, by the way, felt a little foul, too. I don't know if this is the way that they have done it in the past as well. But seeing the Magic logo there, I think took some fans aback a little bit.
Oh, there was videos of people celebrating.
Tease and a half. Tease and a half right there.
Yeah. So I would rather they had the Bulls logo there and then underneath
goes
to Orlando.
It should have been the other way around.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. So as soon as I saw the rest of the call, I'm like, all right, back to baseball. And then I watched the Cubs. Justin Steele wasn't good. The team wasn't good. And we just got told we're number one. And it was a wildly disappointing night. I had so much. I knew it was a long shot, but I still had hope.
Yeah, but like, how pathetic is that? That everyone got huddled around a TV last night for a 1.8% chance of number one, a less than 10% chance of top four, and we're all just lemmings to the television for this Bulls team that hasn't done anything over the last, what now? We're coming up on 7 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a drought for this Bulls team. It hasn't been fun to watch, aside from the first half of the 21-22 season. Like, we put that much stock into a 1.8% chance. Because, like, even if the Bulls had gotten three or gotten four, it would have been, there would have been a level of excitement, but nowhere near the level of excitement of, you got the full shovel to get yourself out of this rut right now.
Oh,
if you
God.
Land number
if you,
one.
If you land number one 15 years after a 1.7% chance got you Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all locked in going, can it happen again? Bears had the number one pick. They traded it. Blackhawks got Connor Bedard.
But even with that, there was legitimate hope that you could have won that lottery.
Correct.
Too,
it was not
11%.
Right. Correct. And they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, maybe the fix is in. Like when Patrick Ewing ended up with the Knicks, there's this conspiracy, and we'll never know because David Stern is no longer with us, that they froze the card with dry ice, and so he felt the cold card, and he knew which one to pick for the Knicks.
Which, what an archaic, I saw the video the other day, what an archaic way of determining a draft lottery. You're dumping all those cards into a glorified bingo spinner.
Right.
And he's taking a couple turns at it, and then boom, he pulls it out.
So if you look at the Bulls' records over the last, oh, call it last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
2014-15, they won 50 games. Then they won 42, then 41. Then they went 27-55, 22-60, 22-43, 31-41. That was all in the throes of what they called was a rebuild. They traded Jimmy. They drafted Lauri Markkanen. They got no lottery luck, so they picked seventh three straight years.
Mm-hmm.
They got Markkanen. They got Wendell Carter
mm-hmm.
and Kobe White.
Yep.
None of them really moved the needle. Okay.
Nope.
Now Markkanen
only one
has,
still on your team.
Correct. And he's okay. He's not great. Markkanen has developed on his third team into an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
Our player development here is not very good. So my question to you is, there's a lot of Bulls fans out there. Do they have to blow it up? And it's easy to say, yeah, blow it up. How are you doing that? A, B, you do have some talent on this team. I think you have to go into the tax, get a point guard, write off the Lonzo Ball is an awful decision. There are people in the league that I talked to that I used to work with that said that kid's injured before the Bulls ever signed him.
Right.
That he was damaged goods and they took a shot and they failed. That's an awfully risky thing. Hey, Michael, we're going to sign this guy. We think he might be damaged goods. We're going to take a chance for $80 million. Like, if you sign him to a one-year deal for $5 million, it doesn't work. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
$80 million over 4 years? He may never play again. He's already been ruled out for all of next year. So do you think they have to blow it up?
I 1,000% do. There's no other way out of this right now. Like, what other way out of this? Because you can say, go into the tax, go into the tax. There has never been a history of going into the tax with this team. So what makes you think, under the same ownership group, that they are going to change something with
that? Well, they have said that they would go into the tax, but they won't throw good money after bad. That if you feel like we've got a chance, they'll spend the tax.
But does this team have a chance? This team does not have a chance right now. With Zach, with DeMar. DeMar's been fantastic for you. You think he can do this for a third year?
Why not?
This is just uncharacteristic.
He's a Hall of Fame baseball, a basketball player.
He is, but he's also getting up there in age as well. Like, he's not getting younger. These long off seasons, too, are not help. Like, I don't think DeMar, it's reasonable to ask a guy going into year 14 to replicate what he's done the first couple of years here in Chicago. he's even like production-wise last year, he took a dip, which was expected. So even if he does reach the level of what he was last season, right? An all-star last year. Even if he is an all-star next year, what's that getting you? Where are you going? You're just going to be stuck in the same spot. And instead of trying to rebuild by drafting 1 through 5, potentially.
How are you getting a 1 through 5 pick?
If you blow this up. If you get rid of DeMar, if you get rid of Zach, how is this team going to finish outside or inside the top 5? Or outside, I should say.
So you're flushing next year.
Mm-hmm.
The following year, you may have no lottery luck. Look at the freaking Pistons, his club. Shea's club. He's from Detroit. They have the worst record in the league.
My club's in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, pal.
He's a front runner. His Detroit club finished with the worst record. They're picking 5th. They had no lottery luck. So I'm going to give away Zach. I have to match the money, so I'm getting a bunch of crappy contracts back.
Or you find some young players. Like, think about, look at what the...
Where? On the young player tree?
I'm just saying, look what the Thunder did. They offloaded Paul George. Who came back in that trade? They got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And now that's a bona fide superstar in this league. In SGA. So you have to be able to develop some guys, too. And I know this team hasn't done much of that lately.
You're talking about years to get it to back to the point you're at now. Years.
No, I don't think it's years. You can flip this thing. If you've got assets in the NBA, and that's what this team needs to do right now, they have to go out and gather assets. You have to find picks, because who knows when that next superstar gets disgruntled. What happens in Phoenix, right? Like, they just blew all that up. Who knows how long KD's going to stick around, because that's something that happens every offseason, it feels like, but there's some drama there. What's the future of DeAndre Ayton? How many more years can Chris Paul play? Could Devin Booker be that next disgruntled superstar? That's a superstar, and that's a guy that wins playoff series.
Yeah, I'm not willing to blow it up. I'm not. I've watched the Bulls go under Tim Floyd. What was the record when Tim Floyd was here? 13-37, 17-65, 15-67, 4-21, and he gets fired. Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm not interested. I'm not. I'm not expecting Michael and Scotty and Rodman and what we had. I'm not. I'm not watching a team win 15 games and be irrelevant.
So you want to see them win between 35 and 40 and pick
no, I'm asking,
18 or 17 or 13?
No, now that I finally have paid off all my debts, like all
in
my
Vooch trade.
In the Vooch trade and everything else, my penalty for tampering with Lonzo Ball, that's a joke. I am not willing to watch a 12 to 16 win team be irrelevant, get blown out, set off indoor fireworks when they win a freaking game. You're too young to remember that. Tim Floyd's here. They finally win a game. They shot off fireworks in the building.
Can't do it.
Streamers. Hey, we won.
Celebrate.
I mean, it's a joke.
The good
it's
news, awful. Cap, you don't have to watch them. They can be bad and we can ignore them and then they'll come back and be good. I think one of the laziest takes right now is the Sixers thing with, oh, the process failed. It got them an MVP. All of the decisions they made after the process were terrible. You have to do better than that. But the process got them an MVP.
Yeah, like you think about what the process was. They drafted a center after a center in a league that was starting to shift. Like, that was bad process that the Sixers had. Not bringing back Jimmy Butler. That's bad process. That's not bad fundamentals of what you're trying to build.
Yeah, I cannot blow this thing up. Now, I am demanding that they go get a point guard and sign a couple shooters. And that means Michael Reinsdorf has to get his checkbook out. Period. Or sell the team. One of the two. If you don't want to at least try and fix this thing, then sell the team. And they're not going to do that, so they got to get their checkbook out. Actions will speak louder than words. So do the Bulls have to blow it up? And what are we thankful for right now? Like, what are we got to look forward to until football's here? It's a great question. Fire them up. 312-332-3776. Don't forget Shot or No Shots at 8. Tyler's in for Hoodie. I'm Cap. Be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back. Got Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Don't forget our Twitch channel. That would be twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Brought to you this week by White Claw Spirits. They are delicious. Coming up today, Black and Abdallah in at 10. Carmen and Dion, noon to 2. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6. Jeff Meller, 6 to 6:30, leaning into White Sox baseball as the Guardians and the White Sox play game 2 of their series. Sox were good winners last night as Lance Lynn pitched much better than I think any of us expected. He was really good. 7 innings, and Sox get a much-needed victory. Still 13 games under the 500.
Helps when the ball leaves the yard, too.
Yes, it does. They got home runs. Let me see if I can remember from my recap. They had Sheets, Robert, fourth straight game for him for a homer, and Jake Berger.
Yep.
There you go. 312-332-3776. So I asked Tyler this question. The Bulls have to blow it up. And is there anything right now, Sox 13 under, Cubs have lost won eight of their last 25. They're 8-17 the last 25. Got their butt kicked again yesterday by a much better team in Houston. The Bears don't get started yet. The Blackhawks got Connor Bedard, but again, he's an 18-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And one player does not turn a hockey team around, unless his name's Wayne Gretzky.
There's at least some assets there. You've got not just your top pick there, but there's some more draft picks there. There's a nice little farm system. There's something there with the Blackhawks.
But it's going to take years to turn that around. They've said that.
Yeah.
They've said it's a 5-year rebuild. That's a
long
time. We'll
see. Superstars can expedite that.
But in a sport where a superstar plays 20 minutes?
But how quick did it happen for Edmonton with McDavid? Because that's the level Bedard has talked about.
They have, well, first of all, McDavid's a much bigger guy. Can ask Pat Boyle, Edzo, those guys know much more hockey than me, but that Edmonton team's got a lot of other firepower. Dreisaitl's a hell of a hockey player, mm-hmm. So we're not doing Edmonton hockey here, but I just don't think one guy at age 18 turns it around. Even when Patrick Kane ended here, came here in 07, you had Taves and Keith and Seabrook.
There's infrastructure.
There was infrastructure here. They don't have that yet. So what do the Bulls do? There are Bulls fans stuck in traffic right now. I know the inbound Ike is closed or has been all morning. You're sitting in your car. You're listening. You're going, I'm a Bulls fan. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Do you want them truly to blow it up? Truly? Truly ready to go 12-70.
What other option is there? Like, you're not a couple shooters away. And even if you are, who are the shooters you're going to go out and get that are going to be? Because it's not just one guy that you need. This team needs probably 2 to 3 guys that can knock down threes consistently on this team. And I don't see that being something that is very attainable in free agency, because guess what? You also have to lure them in. And if you want to come to Chicago, well, there's also other teams throughout the league that need shooting. Everybody needs shooting. And one of the best ways to find shooting is getting it in the draft. And you have no assets there for this upcoming year. So the cupboard's pretty bare right now for this Bulls team. I don't see a way out of this without launching Zach LaVine, without launching DeMar DeRozan. There's no other way out of this right now for the Bulls, especially when you've got a front office and an ownership group that's not going to spend money.
I need a point guard. I have got to find a point guard. There's a couple of guys in free agency. How about D'Angelo Russell? How about dropping him on this team?
How much are you willing to spend? How much is that front office willing to spend to go get a point guard?
It's a great question. Max Strus. How about him for a shooter?
Would he come back here?
I would think. Write him a check. He was in your freaking building.
You know, but you're going to have to overpay. And that's the thing, is you don't want to get caught in a Duncan Robinson situation. You don't want to get caught having to overpay a guy to go be a shooter for you, do a one thing on your team, right? you need to find some of these 3-and-D guys that can kind of alleviate some of the cash flow. And the best way to do that is in the draft. And you don't have any draft
picks
right
now.
You have
no draft picks.
Yeah, so good luck.
I'm not blowing it up.
Good luck down that road.
James in Gurnee says there's light at the end of the tunnel for our teams.
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, there is a, I mean, again, here we have this conversation again multiple times a year. Third biggest market in the world. We got, it's just frustrating. As far as the Bulls, real quick, the light at the end of the tunnel for the Cubs and for the Hawks and the Bears is there, at least. It's there. I mean, to rebuild the team, I mean, if you look talking about Connor McDavid, I mean, it took several years, and, I mean, there's so much talent on that team, and they can't get over the hump. So, as far as the Bulls, who's going to rebuild it? Eversley and AK?
I don't trust them. I personally, if I was the owner, both those guys would be out of work. I don't. Exactly. I think they've done an awful. I think they've been worse than Garm Pax.
They have been. This is depressing, fellas. That the overall aspect of where we are as a big market to be in. I have this conversation with you guys 2 or 3 times a year. It seems like every offseason around the draft, we have this conversation, and it's frustrating. If it's not frustrating for a sport, we all fan the way we want to fan. And I'm going to, even though I know the Cubs aren't supposed to be that good, it's going to be a long summer. And when they start off like that, I get excited. There's excitement level with Bedard and the Hawks. They've got a great farm system, just like you said earlier. It's just, I'm sick and tired of feeling like this. It's frustration upon frustration. Every single season, the Bulls are in purgatory, dude. Where are they going to go? You're both exactly right. You got to rebuild it, but then who's going to rebuild it? And it's just, if this doesn't depress you as a Chicago sports fan, I don't know what else can. It's just, it's the same thing every single round the draft and every single year. But at least there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but we're still years away, I think years away from the Bears. We're a couple years away with the Cubs, and we're several years away with the Blackhawks. So other than that, the Sox and the Reinsdorf family, it's just, this sucks. Excuse my language. It's just blank and sucks.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Have a good day.
Have a great day, man. Exactly my point. Like, what are we hanging our hat on other than we've got hope? I really like Ryan Poles. I believe in Ryan Poles. But again, that's all predicated on hope.
Right.
We haven't seen anything other than a 3-14 season.
This was AK and Mark Eversley's biggest misstep, I think, along the way, was trying to retool and not rebuild. Like, they haven't really gone through a quote-unquote rebuild. And I think the reason why is you launched this thing right away when you went out and made the trade for Vooch. Because once you went and made the trade for Vooch, that put you in the business of winning. Whether
Correct.
Or not you liked the trade at the time or now, that was a signal that we're going for this.
We're starting to ramp up here.
You never really bottomed
out with
them.
But you walked into the building. Everyone in town, gotta get Gar Pax out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're gone. And then you bring these two dudes in. Max Strus is working out in the building, rehabilitating an injury, and they don't even make him an offer. An offer?
Yeah.
And he might be the most coveted free agent shooter in the offseason. He plays in Miami.
Yeah.
So right away, my questioning their decision. You got a guy rehabilitating an ACL. He'll sign basically whatever you give
him.
He'll
sign league minimum.
He wants to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're good. You can go. Really? Really? That's... And then I watched some of their decision-making. And again, I like Vooch more than most. And I would re-sign him if the contract is reasonable. And I think he will be reasonable. But he's going to have suitors. He's a walking double-double. Forget what you paid for him already. They gave too much. That's over with.
Vooch isn't necessarily the problem.
He's
not. It's the cost of getting Vooch that's been the problem.
Agreed. He's a better player than people, I think, realize. But he's not the two-time All-Star that he was when he came in.
Yeah.
So we've got issues in this town. A lot. To the phones. Robert in Lincoln Park. Hey, Robert, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, what's going up, guys? You know, we literally saw a Cubs team bottomed out for they can rebuild for a championship team, and they gave us a championship. You know, with the Bears, we went GM after GM after GM, and I don't want to put words in your guys' mouth, but I believe your guys' motto was, let's see how he pans out, and let's see how he can deliver, and what happens. G GM fired. And now we have Ryan Poles, and we're all on board with Ryan Poles rebuilding this roster. And I don't see a problem. Well, let me rephrase. I don't think there's nothing wrong with the Bulls bottoming out and rebuilding. I think the major problem with that, Cap, is nobody trusts the front office. Nobody trusts AK and Matt and Beverly to put a team together, because they have not proven that they can get an eye on talent, develop talent. Because in the NBA, I believe there's only two ways you get good players. You either take them from other teams or you draft them. And they've shown they cannot do neither. So I'm okay with the rebuild. It's the people in charge that makes me question, should we let them rebuild? Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. It's a valid question, but we scream for Garn Paxson to get out. We bring in the guy who helped. He didn't do it. He was the lieutenant that helped draft Nikola Jokic,
right,
and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. and all these Murray, all these guys that are playing for Denver. He had a hand in bringing them in.
Mm-hmm.
What he's done here is embarrassingly bad.
Right, and it comes down to the topic, or the player development. Ultimately, like, you see flashes from Patrick Williams. If you had a good talent developer in your building, Patrick Williams would be a starter for you. He'd be a player that at least other teams would covet, too.
He's 21 years of age.
Right.
Don't panic and trade him away and then go, mm-hmm, oh, Markkanen's in the All-Star game and Patrick Williams developed. What happened?
Yeah.
Because you didn't have any patience and you have a bad infrastructure. 312-332-3776. Last night was the lottery. Victor Wembanyama plays for San Antonio now. But the commissioner also spoke with Malika Andrews, a former teammate of ours here, and she asked him about Ja Morant. What he had to say was highly interesting, and we want to discuss it with you. 312-332-3776. Tyler's in for Hoodie. Hoodie is off today. The police officer, Ariana Preston, who was horrifically murdered last week, that's Hoodie's first cousin. He was devastated by what the family is going through. He is at the funeral and the burial today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. So please say a prayer for the Hood family and the Preston family. We'll be right back.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n J. Hood.
Our 7 a.m. hour brought to you by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Cubs lost their four straight last night. This one of the Astros again, 7-3, longest losing streak of the year. 8-17, their last 25. 19-23 on the year, and their fourth in the Central Division. White Sox picked up a victory behind a very strong start from Lance Lynn, 8-3 over Cleveland. 7 innings, 1 earned, 7 strikeouts. First of 13 straight games against the AL Central. San Antonio Spurs won the NBA draft lottery and the rights to draft French star 7-5 Victor Wembanyama. Bulls pick came in at number 11, right where it was prognosticated to go, so it will be conveyed to the Orlando Magic from the Vucevic trade. Lakers made a comeback effort last night in Denver, fell 132-126 to lose game one. Eastern Conference final start tonight, Celtics and Heat at 7:30. J-Mo.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n J. Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Tyler's in for Hoodie. I'm Cap, 312-332-3776. Black and Abdallah in at 10. Carm and Dion Miller in at noon. Waddle and Sylvia at 2. Meller 6 to 6:30 leading into White Sox and Guardians on the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. So Adam Silver was in Chicago yesterday, and he sat down with Malika Andrews in advance of the draft lottery. She asked him, and I was really happy that she did. It was such an obvious thing, but there are people criticizing her. Why would you bring up Ja Morant on a great night for the league with the draft lock? That's the biggest story in the league.
No doubt.
One of your most marketable stars at one point is now got his second gun incident
and it forced him to have to issue a statement last night. Ja Morant did. Here is Adam Silver when Malika asked him about the latest troubles with a firearm for Ja Morant.
Honestly, I was shocked when I saw this weekend that video. Now, we're in the process of investigating it, and we'll figure out exactly what happened to the best we can then. It's, again, it's the video's a bit grainy and all that, but I'm assuming the worst, you know, and but we'll figure out, you know, exactly what happened there.
So he goes on to make more comments, and we can play some of those in a little bit. Ja Morant is costing himself insane amounts of money. He was not named All NBA because of the suspension and the issues that he had, which prevented him from getting the super max contract. So that cost him $40 million right there. He got suspended. That cost him money right there. He has sponsors who are jumping off going, I don't want to be affiliated with that. You had Mike Wilbon on with Waddle and Sylvie say, I wouldn't let my son wear his shoes, his jersey, nothing.
Think how exclusive that is to the shoe deal. Not a lot of guys get that anymore.
So Ja Morant had to issue a statement yesterday. I'll read it to you in a minute, where he talked about the latest issue. I got to think he's looking at, he got 8 games the last time. 2 months later, he does this again. He's got to be looking at a 40 game, half a season at least. Like, how do you impress upon him will not be tolerated?
I mean, you take away his checks, right? That's the way you got to do it.
And
this is one of those things. And I'm not saying this is an excuse for Ja, but if you look at that Grizzlies roster too, not a lot of guys there that are going to put you and take you under their wing. Like, Ja is the leader on that team. Mm-hmm. When you look up and down that roster, you've got a young first-time head coach, too, in Taylor Jenkins. There's not a lot of infrastructure. Like, you heard during The Last Dance and even around, like, the Jalen Carter stuff as well, there was the whole thing of the fit works. It worked to bring Rodman in with the Bulls because there were guys that weren't going to tolerate his BS. It works to bring Carter into Philadelphia because there's guys that aren't going to tolerate his BS. In Memphis, there's a lot of guys there that are just going to tolerate his BS because he's Ja Morant. He's the former number two pick. He's an all-rookie team. He's an all-NBA guy. Like, he is one of these all-stars in the league, one of the faces of the league, one of the most likable guys in the league. And so you're going to tolerate a lot of that stuff. But I think now that you look at if he got put in the right situation, if there was a vet there that could take him under his wing and say, listen, you've got millions and millions in front of you here, and you're going to piss it away if you don't straighten up right now. Like, that's the problem, is there's no infrastructure there for him.
Nobody to hold him accountable. After the commissioner spoke last night, and he's been suspended by the Grizzlies from all team activities, he cannot be in the facilities, he released this statement. I know I've disappointed a lot of people who have supported me. My words may not mean much right now, but I take full accountability for my actions. In addition, as he's waving the firearm around in the car, the guy who was driving it, I can't remember who it was.
Devontae Peck, I believe his name is.
And was it Youngblood that was playing?
I'm not sure what song was playing, no.
And he immediately realized, oh, God, we're on Instagram Live. He has a firearm. He quickly put the phone down, but it was too late. They captured the glimpse of the gun. Ja now admitted that, yeah, I had a firearm with me. He's looking at a major suspension. And apparently we'll play two different celebrity former athletes in Shannon Sharp and in Keyshawn Johnson, who said there are members of two huge street gangs that are furious at what he's doing. This is Keyshawn Johnson first talking about Ja.
Video that some gang members here in Los Angeles don't appreciate Ja's behavior. You see what I'm saying? So now you got them involved. Now they talking on a video streamed live about his behavior and disrespect and throwing up the gang signs, and he ain't got nothing to do with that gang. He don't even know where that's at. Trust me. I mean, I'm not gonna speak on the gang or who it is, but he doesn't know them people one bit. Trust me, I'm from here. And so they mad and agitated at him now. So he done escalated even more issues for himself.
Right.
You know, it's like, they got to get a hold of him, man. They got to get a hold of him.
Okay, this is Shannon Sharp on the same topic related to Morant and gangs.
Dude, there was a Crip from Memphis. Say, hey, y'all, you really about that life? Come hang with your boy on some good stay. Wait, nothing. Hey, and see what it's really like to live. Think about that life, Skip. Yeah. Okay. You ain't somebody running up on you, you know, kicking in your door. Hey, come on, bro. That ain't no way to live. No. You, Skip, you got 50 mil. Who in the hell wants to go back to the trenches of the mud when I'm up here?
Yeah.
You did everything what you could to get from here to there.
Yeah.
And now that you're here, you know what? Hey, down there wasn't too bad. What?
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Let's grab Jeff on the north side. Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
What Ja Morant did was moronic. My call is not to defend that. What I don't understand is we can say that that's moronic and look to punish it, but we have upwards of 10, probably around 20 Republican Congress people posing on their holiday cards with their children with AR-15s.
Mm-hmm.
They're celebrated, they're reelected, they're funded. Nobody talks about cutting their pay. Nobody talks about suspending them from Congress. We have a young black man acting like a jackass with a gun, and we're talking about taking away millions of dollars from him and potentially ending his career.
Because he violated the league's gun policy. He cannot have a firearm. That is a rule in his contract.
Understand. I'm not defending that. What I'm saying is we have rules about young black men, and those rules are stricter than the law in his state, but we have no such rules for our elected officials. We're hypocrites. It's insane.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Thank you. 312-332-3776. I asked the guys here, if the Memphis Grizzlies called the Bulls and said, we'll trade you Ja Morant, we'll take Zach LaVine back, would you do it?
I said, yeah.
No shot.
I would do it.
No chance. We'll get into all of it. We'll get your calls in as we talk about Ja Morant and the NBA last night. Bulls lost their draft pick. If you're just getting into the car or just getting up, Bulls pick goes to Orlando. They have no picks in the upcoming draft, and they're not very good. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap'n Jay Hood Experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Rolling on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. Hoodie is off today for a funeral. He'll be back tomorrow. Tyler Aki is in for him. Shay is the executive producer. Jay Moore's at the controls. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. So we were talking about Ja Morant. You heard from Keyshawn Johnson and Shannon Sharp talking about how some gang members are looking at Ja riding around with a firearm, and the commissioner spoke to Malik Andrews last night and said he's stunned. He's looking at a lengthy, lengthy suspension. I'm guessing it's 41 games.
I would guess in the neighborhood of 30.
30. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking end of half the season. If you're the commissioner, what are you doing? How long?
I'd go 30 games suspension and maybe go from there. See what, because he needs more than just a suspension right now.
He needs rehab.
Like the rehab that he went to was, it felt phantom rehab. He went down for a couple days. What was it, in Miami? Went down for a couple days and then came back and joined the team after what, 2-3 days? You need more than that. This is a process
that needs to
be built out.
So here, again, let's play the commissioner. Here's another cut from Commissioner Adam Silver when he spoke to Malik Andrews at the draft lottery last night when she asked him about the latest controversy with Ja Morant and a firearm.
We talked directly about the consequences first before we got to a subsequent potential to have done something wrong. We were very focused on the misconduct that was in front of us at the time. And frankly, most of our conversation was about how incredibly serious the first incident was of waving, you know, a firearm on, you know, on social media. And again, you know, the consequences there, an 8-game suspension was pretty serious and something that he, at least to me, seemed to take incredibly seriously in that time. And we spoke for a long time about not just the consequences that could have on his career, but the safety issues around it. Could have injured, maimed, killed himself, someone else with an act like that. And also the acknowledgement that, as you said, he's a star. I mean, he has an incredibly huge following.
Yeah.
And that my concern, and I thought he shared with me, that millions, if not tens of millions of kids globally would see him as having done something that was celebrating in a way.
So there's the commissioner last night. I think you're looking at it. He said 8 was a pretty significant punishment. You don't get paid. It's a lot of money. It cost him not being on the All-NBA team meant that he's not eligible for that super-duper whatever type contract.
The largest contract
you can get. It cost him $40 million in guaranteed money. And it did not make an impact on him because 2 months later, he's doing the same thing again. I have to put him into a serious timeout.
Yeah. And I guess to a degree, it has started now. And you can start this process of rehab now because that's ultimately, it's going to take time to get over this. And I think he needs to find someone in the league, and the league maybe needs to find someone for him that can help him, that can guide him, because he can't do this alone. You look at some of the stories that have come out. It was the Washington Post article about how it feels like in his family, they call in Ja to be the enforcer.
Well, they had an incident in a shopping mall where his mother went into a Finish Line store and wanted a pair of shoes.
Right.
Now, he's an endorser for Nike. You can't just pick up the phone to your...
Right.
They all get a rep.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, it's Ja. Hey, my mom wants size 8 whatevers. Can you please overnight those to me? He gets paid millions of dollars by Nike. And the guy at the store said, we don't have that. First of all, the salesperson was helping another customer. And she interrupted. And he said, let me help this person here, and then I'll help you. Do you know who I am? And the guy said, I don't care who you are. I'm helping another customer. So she went and got Ja. Somebody took a swing at the guy, like smacked him on the head. The guy ran in the back of the store and hid. And Ja said, I'll be waiting for you in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Really? That's how we're going to comport
and
ourselves.
And he had a similar situation happen at his sister's volleyball game.
Correct.
As well.
And then at his home, he threatened a kid with a gun in a pickup basketball game.
So you can see that the inner circle there, it's not working.
Correct.
He's been called upon to be the enforcer in his family.
Correct.
And that's part of the problem.
So there's a lot of issues. So I said to Shay this morning and to Jay Moore, and I'm saying to you, okay, your phone rings and you're lost here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Arturis, it's whoever the head of the Memphis Grizzlies is. We got to move this guy. Give me Zach LaVine back. I'll give you Ja Morant. You doing it?
I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think you can.
I second it. I'm doing
it. Would rather take a chance on something like behavior as opposed to injury risk.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that.
So you're saying a guy who might miss, we don't know how long, half the season next year, you won't have him. You're saying in a city that has more gun violence than any place in the world, hey, he's a good player. I don't care. Bring him in.
I think you've got vets on this team that can, again, this gets back to the infrastructure thing. DeMar DeRozan, you think he's going to tolerate any of that?
You think DeMar DeRozan's going to be here for the duration of Ja's career?
I'm just saying.
He's in the final year of his deal.
I'm just saying, if you get the infrastructure in here, if you get some of the right coaches in here, you've got advanced veterans on that coaching staff that I think can figure out behavioral situations. You've got a guy like DeMar DeRozan that I think can take him under his wing and say, listen, man, you got to get the bigger picture here. And DeMar DeRozan, you've heard a lot of players talk about the impact that he's had on their career and kind of how he's helped them out. Because DeMar DeRozan's from Compton. Like, he knows what it's like to be from that area and to live that life. This is something that I think if you have DeMar work with him, you could figure this out.
All right, we've got Shot or No Shot coming up. We'll get back into this topic. We got a lot of people that would like to talk about it. 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776. Shot or No Shot is in exactly 2 minutes on Cap J Hood.